Hello everyone and welcome to Rob Talk. This is Rob Cunningham IV. In this episode, I'm going to be beginning the candidate series. That is the candidate for the Democratic primary for President of the United States in 2020. And there are five candidates polling at 5% or higher. And so I'm going to do a little review of each of them because I think that looking at the rest of them at this point in time is just not really something helpful. So like the Beto O'Rourke's of the world who are polling at around 3% or worse, they have no chance of making the Democratic nomination. And I've thought this for a while. I think that, for instance, Beto O'Rourke should come back to Texas and run against John Cornyn, who has a more unpopular view in the general public than Ted Cruz did in 2018 when Beto O'Rourke lost the Senate race to him by 2.5 points. So I think Beto needs to come back to Texas. So those five in order from highest polling rate to lowest of the five. Joe Biden is coming in at around 30%. He's been relatively steady. Right now he's at 30.5 at the time of recording. Elizabeth Warren is at 17.3% right now in second place. Clocking in third place is Bernie Sanders at 16%. Kamala Harris in fourth place at 8%. And Pete Buttigieg, respectively, at 5.2%. But in today's episode, we're going to cover Bernie Sanders. He is my favorite of these five candidates, and I'm going to discuss his views, discuss general opinions around him, some pros, cons that may help him win or lose the nomination. So we'll get into that. I am in every podcast app imaginable, truly. So if Apple Podcast isn't your thing, then there's an app for you. So if you're on Android and you don't want to listen to this off of the Anchor page or whatever, I am in all the apps imaginable for the podcast. I'm also on YouTube, so whatever app you find yourself listening to this in, please subscribe, rate, and review. I appreciate the support and the continued listens. With all of that being covered, let's jump into the show. Bernie Sanders is a United States Senator from Vermont. He is 77 years old. He's been in politics since 1981, really, when he assumed the office of the mayor of Burlington, Vermont. Then, in 1991, he became a member of the House for Vermont, and then in 2007, he assumed office as senator from Vermont, which he has chaired the Senate Veterans Affairs Committee. Currently, he's the ranking member on the Senate Budget Committee. He's been in Congress for forever, so he's done a lot. He's voted a ton of different ways on a ton of different issues, so there's no way that we could hope to cover them all here in a reasonable amount of time. So let's see what Bernard stands for. All right, his primary issue is healthcare. To anybody who's seen any of the debates or knows anything about Bernie, Medicare for All is his number one priority. Medicare for All is the idea of a government-run health insurance program which would take the burden off of the backs of the American people when it comes to rising medical costs, which are going up and up in the United States. In Bernie's own words, he says he wants to join every other major country on earth by guaranteeing health care to all people as a right, not a privilege, through a Medicare for All single-payer program. Additionally, with health care, he wants to allow Medicare to negotiate with the big drug companies to lower prescription drug prices with the Medicare Drug Price Negotiation Act. He wants to allow patients, pharmacists, and wholesalers to buy low-cost prescription drugs from Canada and other industrialized countries with the Affordable and Safe Prescription Drug Importation Act. And he wants to cut prescription drug prices in half with the Prescription Drug Price Relief Act by pegging prices to the median drug price in five major countries: Canada, the United Kingdom, France, Germany, and Japan. Another one of Bernie Sanders' staples is the college debt relief and College for All. College for All is what got him a ton of attention in 2016, and a lot of silly right-wing talking points emerged. We won't go into those there, you can imagine, and I'm sure you all know them. But anyway, there are $1.6 trillion in debt currently outstanding by people who owe student debt to the federal government and also in private loans. And Bernie wants to take this on by placing a less than 1% tax on Wall Street speculation. And over the course of roughly 10 years, that will pay for all the student debt that's owed, and it will ensure that we can have free public college for any American student. Now, those are Bernie's two major staples. Most other things you can probably figure out based on party line, if you want to figure out what Bernie stands for there. I will put a note in that he is a supporter of the Green New Deal. He's very tough on climate change, probably only behind maybe Cory Booker and Jay Inslee of Washington. Those are two other United States presidential candidates. He's very tough on climate change, and so I'm glad that he gets that. I won't be coy about that. Some pros on Bernie Sanders are that he is the second most popular senator in the United States, only behind Angus King of Maine. Now, Bernie is polling at a 62% favorability rating, according to Morning Consult, which is a technology company who helps with political research. They are also in conjunction with 538.com. So him having a 62% favorability rating and being the second most popular senator in the U.S. means that there are some Republicans who gave him a favorable rating rather than an unfavorable rating. And he is one of three candidates right now in the general election that are polling higher than Donald Trump. That would be Bernie Sanders, Joe Biden, and Elizabeth Warren. I'd speculate to say that the reason a small percentage of Republicans are giving Bernie a favorable rating are because they believe he's honest. So they know that he's not corrupt. Because Bernie has been in the political arena for decades now at this point, and they've seen that he doesn't change. His votes stay the same, which is, I think, that is something dearly lacking here in the United States. Now, Bernie only votes with Trump on the legislation that Trump wants to get through 13.1% of the time. There are only two senators in the Senate that vote with Trump less. That's Kirsten Gillibrand at 12.1% and Elizabeth Warren at 11.9%. But with that voting record, I think Republicans can still occasionally get on board with him, as the general election polling shows, because he's only one of three Democrats that is beating Trump head-to-head in these polls. Kyle Kalinske of Secular Talk on YouTube recently pointed to a great YouTube comment on the Joe Rogan podcast, which Bernie recently appeared on. That was episode 1330. The comment says this: "As a business owner, I thought Sanders wanted to put us out of business, give all my profits to the poor for doing nothing. Everything said here would help my business immensely. I can't even imagine how great it would be to have to not worry about health care for my employees. I'll happily pay more in taxes to not have that burden. I'll also be able to compete with larger corporations who can afford better benefits right now. It makes me sick knowing how misinformed the media keeps us. I say it every year, but I'm really not going to watch mainstream media anymore." Okay, so anyone listening to this who doesn't consistently watch Joe Rogan or wants to learn a little bit more about Bernie Sanders, he did an hour on the Joe Rogan Experience, episode 1330. He explained eloquently how this is going to take the burden off the backs of business owners with their health care. They, with a Medicare for All program like Bernie wants to push, they won't have to worry about all of the nonsense and all of the crazy costs and everything, because with a Medicare for All single payer program, there's no need to worry about all that. And so if there is a small tax increase on the middle class, then it will result in lower costs in the long run, because you'll be saving money on premiums, you'll be saving money on out-of-pocket expenses, co-pays, all of that. And if you're a business owner, you won't have to worry about any of that for your employees. So that is, in Bernie's mind and my mind, the beautiful thing of a Medicare for All single-payer healthcare program. Bernie is immensely popular online. The Joe Rogan Experience has well over 1,300 episodes. And the Bernie Sanders episode that came out 1 week ago has 8.8 million views, and that is the eighth best performing podcast on Joe Rogan's channel. You can look this up on the Powerful JRE channel on YouTube. Joe Rogan, for those of you who don't know, is the number one podcast in the world. Joe Rogan has been doing it for like 10 years and with over 1,300 episodes and crazy high profile guests. It really is the biggest podcast out there, and it's always in the top charts on Apple Podcasts or anywhere you look. So for one episode of Joe Rogan to make it to the top 8 within a week, that's just insane. The comments on that episode are just really inspiring and gives me a lot of hope about the internet's opinion of Bernie Sanders. Again, I encourage everyone to go watch that. You'll see that Bernie's not that radical. The things that he wants to accomplish are achievable. And the mainstream media and big corporations like Amazon are against him because they don't want to have to play fair like they have to do in a lot of other industrialized countries. A company like Amazon and Netflix paid $0 in taxes last year because they're smart and they are international businesses, and so they run their money through different companies like Ireland, which is a notorious tax safe haven, and they can get around paying their fair share in the United States. And so Bernie and another candidate who I won't really be discussing because he's not polling well enough and he has no chance of winning the nomination, which is a real shame, it's Andrew Yang, have talked about doing a value-added tax on these corporations. So it doesn't matter where they funnel their money. If they are doing this in the American economy and making all this money, then they should have to pay their fair share of taxes. And we'll be putting that money back in the hands of some of the American people, whether it be through healthcare or college debt relief or better social programs like Bernie wants to keep alive, unlike Trump, who's trying to cut things like SNAP, which is food stamps for children and otherwise. Amazon should see this as a benefit because, yeah, some of this money is that's going back into the hands of the people is going to go back through Amazon. Of course it is. So they should start paying their fair share because it's the right thing to do. But I know in business, it's not about what the right thing to do is. The only duty you have is to your shareholders. You know, that's how they all see it. So now I have discussed a lot of positives about Bernie Sanders. I believe that he's fighting for a noble good, and I think it's all reasonable. He calls himself a democratic socialist. I actually don't think he's a democratic socialist, but that's one of the things that could hurt him because that branding has worked so well in the right-wing circles and right-wing news channels like Fox News that it can be difficult to recover from that. But I don't think he should have called himself that in the first place. I think he's a social democrat, which is what I consider myself to be. He just believes in social programs that other modern countries like Canada and the United Kingdom already ensure for their people. He's not a socialist. He's not for crazy redistribution of wealth, just reasonable taxes. Like it's nothing crazy, really. You just, I mean, you know, the branding of the right has just been so effective on this. So that's a worry of mine that, you know, a couple independents or some moderate Republicans who hate Donald Trump won't vote for Bernie Sanders in Wisconsin, Michigan, or Pennsylvania, or wherever because of the socialist branding tactic that has worked so well. Another thing, lastly, Ethan Klein of the H3 podcast actually said that he likes Bernie. He was a Bernie guy in 2016, but he doesn't like his age. And that's a real problem. I don't know why, but it is, you know. I think that age shouldn't matter if someone is fighting for the right ideas, whether that be too young or too old, quote unquote. Like Pete Buttigieg is 37. If I agreed with Pete Buttigieg on everything, his age would not hold me back. And Bernie being 77 should also hold no one back because you know he's going to fight for the right things. Bernie is also very high energy. Bernie runs around. He goes to campaign events every day almost. So we know he's got it in him to do what he has to do as president. He is a seemingly healthy guy who is getting the job done with an effective message. And if you don't like his typical form of rhetoric, which is a little preachy, then I can't suggest enough. Go watch the Joe Rogan Experience episode number 1330 with Bernie Sanders. You'll get an intimate 1-hour sit down with Joe, and Joe gives him great questions and It's just, it's a good look at him without all the theatrics or the nonsense or the forced hit jobs of the televised debates that we have had to deal with so far. But with all of this being covered, there are a lot of good things going Bernie's way. He's got the popularity. The polls show him beating Trump head to head. He's got some tremendous online support, and he's in third place in the Democratic primary. It's still early. We don't start voting until February, and on Super Tuesday isn't until March 3rd. So we have several more televised debates to get through, and hopefully some more good podcast appearances by Bernie Sanders. Even with the cons of the mainstream media and Amazon out to get him, and his Democratic Socialist branding and his age, I think he still has a decent shot at this. Time will tell. We still got a long ways to go, and I look forward to continuing to cover these candidates at least a little bit. I hope you've liked this overview of Bernie Sanders. If I did anything wrong, let me know. I'm on Twitter and Instagram at Rob Talk Podcast. And one more quickie story you need to know about today. U.S. stock prices plunged on Wednesday, August 14th, after a reliable predictor of recessions, known as the yield curve, briefly came back. The yield curve is whenever the short-term bonds are paying better than the long-term bonds. This spooked investors and caused the stock market to drop by over 800 points. That is, the Dow fell by over 800 points. The S&P 500 also fell by a similar amount. It has now been 117 months since the last major recession, and the longest gap between a recession since 1970 was 120 months. That's all for this episode of Rob Talk. I'm Rob Cunningham IV. I'll see you next time.